What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning in to the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very talented and prolific musician. He is a pioneer in the contemporary jazz community and has recorded over 42 albums to date and has also appeared on over 3,000 recording sessions. He has produced and performed with some of the biggest names in the business, such as David Foster, Maurice White, Bob James, and B.B. King. Please put your hands together and welcome Grammy Award-winning contemporary jazz guitarist, composer, and producer, Lee Ritenour. How's it going, Lee?
It's fine, Spud. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man. Pleasure's all mine. Big fan of your work, Lee. Been a fan for years. And, you know, the hits that you put out, man, for over the past 30 years is just truly phenomenal and inspiring to me, and I'm sure to other musicians as well. So thank you.
All right.
You know, three of the songs I just want to bring to your attention as a fan, Lee, and as a musician, Is It You?
Thank you.
Yeah, man. And Night Rhythms and Rio Funk. Those are my top three Lee Ritenour tracks, man.
That's great.
You know, I'm a funk keyboardist myself, man. Funk has been my foundation since day one, man. And those two tracks, Night Rhythms and Rio Funk, really complement funk to me. I mean, that's really the definition of funk, and really blending those other styles.
No, thank you. Yeah, well, I'm with you on. I always feel the rhythm in my playing and my writing, and always surround myself with you know, players that feel the same way. Whether it's, you know, like the band I have now with Melvin Davis and Sonny Emery, or back in those days with Marcus Miller and Buddy Williams on Rio Funk, and Bob James and Dave Grusin and Omar Hakim and Anthony Jackson and Marcus Miller on the Festival album.
Right. Man, but 42 albums to date, Lee, man, that's just an accomplishment. You know, I see a lot of writers where they don't put as many albums out, but with your track records of great music, man, you know, I'd really see what really keeps you inspired to keep writing and performing.
Yeah, well, I love to make records. I also love the live thing. They're two different animals, and I love to do both, and they keep me fresh and keep me excited, you know. And of course, as you probably know from my career, I don't stay in one place too much, so I kind of keep changing it up, which keeps me fresh.
Definitely. You know, I want to talk about your CD that you released of last year, June, man, the Six String Theory CD. And, you know, from what I understanding is, you were taking different elements and different styles of music and displaying this on a guitar. Was that the mission behind the CD, or is it just jamming along, creating?
No, it really had a total vision. It last year, or 2010, was a banner year for me because I've been playing the guitar since I was 8 years old, and last year I hit 58, and now I'm 59, and it was a 50-year career playing the guitar. So I had a dream to want to do something to really celebrate the guitar that's been so great in my life. And ever since I was a kid, I loved every kind of guitar style. Anyone who's played a guitar great, I was listening to. So it didn't matter if it was Wes Montgomery or B.B. King or Segovia or Jimi Hendrix or Chet Atkins. I was checking out anyone that could play the guitar great, and sort of borrowing different elements from each of their styles. And, you know, I guess that's why I've had such a versatile career, because I love so much different kinds of music. And the guitar is such an evolutionary instrument. I wanted to kind of deconstruct it and reconstruct it on this album. So we combined using the six strings, and I came up with the title first, String Theory, and then added Six String Theory. So I collected six styles of music: jazz, rock, blues, acoustic, classical, and country, and put them all on the same record. And you're not supposed to do that on a record, you know, but I centered it by having the guitar as the center. And so, you know, we went to from bebop with Pat Martino to funk jazz with John Scofield and I, to more beautiful guitar playing by George Benson, and a blues track that featured B.B. King and Johnny Lang and Keb Mo and Taj Mahal and Joe Bonamassa, and then rock tracks with Slash and Steve Lukather and Neil Sean, and then I even included some of what I call my YouTube babies, you know, new guitarists that are gaining big followings and really kind of through the new avenue of YouTube and different social media. So that was Andy McKee and Joe Robinson and Guthrie Govan. And we even had an international guitar competition where we included a brand new talent who got to play on the record, and a 16-year-old classical guitarist won the award from Canada, named Sean Boubliel, and we got him a 4-year scholarship to the Berklee College of Music, plus a bunch of Yamaha guitar endorsements and all sorts of cool stuff.
Man, that's truly phenomenal, man. You know, bringing that education back into music and, you know, being a mentor to up-and-coming musicians, you know, I think it's really important. You know, I talk a lot about influences on my show, and I really feel that without these music figures like you and a lot of the great legends that are out there, man, you know, having a solid foundation would be pretty scarce. You know, it's like,
yeah,
we're creative, don't get me wrong, but, you know, having that foundation and really where you started, man, where that, you know, inspired you to become a musician and what really kept you going, and that's just truly phenomenal, Lee.
Yeah, well, now I, you know, sort of on the back half of my career, although I feel I've got, you know, a whole bunch of years to keep exploring my records and traveling live and stuff, but it's important for me to try to give back a little bit, and so the teaching and the mentoring has been very important. So this whole six-string theory, it's kind of spawned a whole educational part of it, and we're having, in 2011 now, it's running right now up and through May 15th, an international guitar competition again, where it's just an amazing amount of scholarships and prizes are being given out. So you can go to sixstringtheory.com and check it out. And it, you know, there's just so many good things going on.
Now, Lee, I got to ask you, man, being in the business as long as you have, you know, recording has changed so much, you know, from analog and to the DAW world of recording. You know, give me some pros and cons of the two formats and, you know, what you're personally using now and your preference.
Well, you know, that's changed a lot over the years, too. You know, we've definitely all gone digital and mixing what we call in the box, you know, with either Pro Tools. But I actually, even over Pro Tools, even though that's sort of the standard for recording big tracks, and whether we do tracking sessions with bands, with rhythm section, or with orchestra, we always use Pro Tools. But my personal favorite is Logic Audio, and we actually mix on Logic in the box, meaning there's no outboard gear anymore. It's all within the computer and the program and the you know, just straight in. So and of course we're always using good pre's, and I have a full on studio at my one of my houses in LA, and so I have a Trident Series 80 where we're still using the pre's from the Trident Series 80, and you know, I got a million guitars and a million amps.
Yeah.
I'm always trying new things, you know, a lot of heavy Gibson stuff, you know, the Gibson 335 and the Les Paul and the my custom Lee Ritenour L5 model. Those are my main Gibsons, and then Yamaha for the acoustic stuff primarily, a steel string and classical guitars from Yamaha, and then everything in between.
Nice. Now, for putting your compositions together, I mean, you're a guitarist, but you also produce and compose. What's your specific methods of approaching a new project, and, you know, what steps do you take to really make the song and take it from start to finish?
Well, it really varies. You know, sometimes, depending on the kind of music that I want to be composing for a particular project, I might take Logic Audio and come up with a loop or a rhythm or a pattern that I like, and just sort of almost jam on it and record a bunch of ideas, and then maybe out of a 10-minute jam, I find two bars or something of some little kernel of an idea that I like, and then I start over with that and develop it, and that's one kind of writing for me. The other kind of writing is just taking an acoustic guitar and just writing a pure piece on it, and then but more specifically, sometimes and I think this happens to a lot of professional players, when you're young and you're just starting out, when you're learning your instrument or you're learning how to compose, you just write a song because you're inspired. But and later on in life, if that happens, that's really great. And but that doesn't happen all the time for a lot of us, because when you get to be a professional and you have a lot of scheduling going on in your life, you're almost scheduled to do a record. So depending on the kind of record you're doing, if it's very specific, then you compose for that project. So it's like a composer composing for a movie. He has a certain parameters of what he needs, the kind of music he needs to compose. So that sometimes helps the composer, because sometimes if you just have a wide open palette, I find that's the hardest thing to compose, because there's no direction. It's just wide open, and it's sort of like, where do you start? And if you're just inspired all the time to write music, that's great. But most of the time I'm recording, I'm traveling, I'm producing, I'm doing a million other things. So writing for me is like it's like working out in the gym. The first day you do it, it's horrible. The next day is horrible. And the third day is a little better. Fourth day is a little better. And after you're writing for about a week or 10 days, most of the garbage has gone away and some good stuff starts to come out. But, you know, the good writers, like good pop songwriters that have a lot of hits and stuff, they write every day. You know, it's just like the same with the person who writes books. You know, they just write every day. And so since I do so many different things, I can't write every day. But when I do write, I write in volume, and I usually write for a project.
No, I totally agree with you, man. You know, being a producer and being a keyboardist, you know, I can get caught on different projects. And, you know, like you say, starting from scratch, you get a chance to, you know, take your time with it and you can go back. But, you know, a lot of times I'll get called to just lay some keys on, you know, a couple of people's tracks and things, and, you know, just got to kind of react and just start recording. And a lot of times we can get away because of our talent, you know what I mean? And sometimes you go back, it's like, man, I could really, you know, did it differently if I heard it back. And, you know, you're doing great work, but again, you know, I really guess it really depends on your schedule. So, you know, I totally agree with you, man.
Absolutely.
Now, do you really find that creative zone, Lee, in the studio where you could take your time to write material, or is it on stage where you get a chance to, you know, flow off your band members' energy and the crowd's energy as well?
Well, sometimes being on the road, it focuses you and you get inspired by your audiences. I don't usually write right then on the road, but for instance, there was right before one album, I think the album was 2007, it was Smoke and Mirrors. And right before that album, I think it was 2006, I went on a world tour, and it really was in a few different continents. It was all over the U.S., all over Asia, all over Australia, then we went to Africa, and then we went to Europe. So it was all during the summer months. It was warm everywhere. People were outside, you know, a lot of drumming was going on, a lot of percussion, you know, people in the parks and outdoor festivals, and the sort of the drum was the constant thing throughout all these places I was playing. So it sort of inspired Smoke and Mirrors, which was this really world music album that had a lot of influences from, once again, Brazil, that usually inspires me, but also this time Africa. So, you know, sometimes the traveling does inspire a particular project.
You know, I found that, you know, I come from a church background, man. You know, having that first audience as my church audience really helped me as a keyboardist. And I play guitar also. And, you know, I got a chance to really see what moves people and, you know, certain riffs and certain progressions I play on the board, you know. So it's just really had that trial and error, and you get a chance to display it in the public, and, you know, you get a chance to play with different bands. So, but, you know, on the flip side, it does work together. You know, I love focusing in the studio where I can sometimes work off of another project or really start one of my own, what I preferably like to do on the composer mode. So, you know, it's just, you know, finding that zone and finding that center of inspiration, that's where it's at for us, you know.
That's right.
So, Lee, what's on the musical agenda for 2011?
Well, there's a lot of traveling coming up, which is great. We're still really promoting Six String Theory. It's been a very successful project for me around the world. It just won sort of the equivalent of the Grammy Award in Germany for Best International Guitarist for me and for the album as well. And so it's been well accepted all over the world. So we're We're going to Europe twice this summer, all over Spain and England and Holland and later Norway and the Canary Islands and Italy and just a lot of different places. And then right now I'm on this U.S. tour, which has just been a blast, going up and down the East Coast and the Midwest, be out in California later on in May to play in Los Angeles, and then in the August in San Francisco and up to Seattle. And we're also having a Six String Theory 2011 International Guitar Competition, as I mentioned, and there'll be the finals at this great workshop called the Crown of the Continent in Montana in late August, and that's where the six finalists will get chosen to go to get to go to the camp and get to perform for all the prizes. It's going to be over $125,000 worth of prizes this year, and so Joe Bonamassa and Steve Lukather and myself will be there, and the other camps where the some of the winners will get to go. We're going to feature Jim Hall and Pat Martino and all sorts of great teachers. So there'll be some teaching mixed in with live playing, and then it'll be time to think about another recording.
There you go, man. Well, Lee, it's been a pleasure having you on my show, man. I would love to have you back and talk about your new musical endeavors, man, so we could chop it up again.
Okay, we'll do that, Spud.
All right, Lee, you have a safe 2011, man.
All right, thank you for having me. Bye-bye now.
Bye. And a big shout out and thank you to Lee Ritenour for coming on the show and chopping it up with me. Big fan of Lee Ritenour's. You know, he's such a diverse musician, a seasoned musician, and also a producer. And to top that, man, he's played alongside with other seasoned musicians as well. For more information on Lee Ritenour, you need to check out his website at www.leeritenour.com. www.leeritenour.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit my website up at www.spudtootight.com. www.spudtootight.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast, so if you have a Mac or a PC, an iPhone or an iPod, or an iPad, open up the iTunes store, type in the producer's corner with Spud Too Tight, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And to close out the show, I'm going to play a track by Lee Ritenour, and it also features John Scofield. And the title of the track is called Lay It Down. So I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace.